Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we have three people joining me over the phone. We have Clayton, Kara, and Carol Ann Langford. And we're here to talk about Clayton and his son, Scott, who both contracted COVID-19 last month and had to stay weeks in the ICU, even being transferred down to Edmonton. Thankfully, both were able to recover. And we're here to get their story, as both were close to death and were admitted released from the hospital just days apart. It's quite remarkable when you think about it. So, Clayton, I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes. Maybe just a start. Can you just kind of go back to when you had contracted the virus?
Mine started, I guess, on May 5th. By 8th, I was in emergency. And from that, the next day, I was in ICU. But a lot of stuff I don't remember, because I was shipped from here to Edmonton the 29th. And from that, I don't remember anything. I guess, I don't know how many days it was before I come out of that coma they had me put into.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard thing to even think about. For me, I listen to different people, that even still today, that look up and say that it's a conspiracy with the government. But if they were in my shoes, they wouldn't be saying that.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you were put under? I know you said that you don't remember a lot right before you went into the ICU, but is there anything you remember? And I'm sure it must have been a very confusing time when, you know, you wake up in a hospital and you're in an entirely different city.
This is hard to explain, but I can remember in the ICU when one of the nurses looked up and said they were bringing my son down, and he passed along by the room. She put him next to me, and I waved to him. The only thing I was asking every time they come to where I was here was asking how Scott was. I wasn't concerned about my own son. I was concerned about my own son, but I guess I never really stopped to think about any of it. But for the nurses in the ICU up here, it was unbelievable. I had one visit me before I left the hospital. And from what I understand, the doctor said she went back to the office and cried. And she up there intubated me to, I guess, they shipped me off down to Edmonton. And they were so excellent. I would not complain about anything they done there. And there is no way you could thank anybody for something like that. More concern, like human life, than I ever seen it in years in a hospital.
I know that this, you know, it just recently happened, so it's probably quite fresh, but we've been in the pandemic for 16, 17 months. I don't know how long it's been. Going through the first 13, 14 months, really unaffected when it comes to maybe your health. You obviously could have been impacted in other ways. Did you think that we were getting to the point where maybe that this wasn't going to impact you? Were you surprised when you did test positive and all of a sudden just how serious it really got?
I did expect it to happen. because I was trying to get, first when they start coming out with it, for to get the vaccine, I tried. And they keep telling me that I didn't qualify because my asthma right now was under control. But I looked up and told them on the phone, I said, you don't know my body. As far as I'm concerned, once I get sick, and my asthma takes over. Mm-hmm. This is what I've been trying to tell them that. And for the doctor here in town, they were surprised that even me and Scott come out of there alive. We were that bad off when we left town.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Clayton, Carol Ann, and Kara Langford, discussing Clayton and his son, Scott, contracting COVID-19 and being released from the hospital just 3 days apart.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, we're talking with Clayton, Carol Ann, and Kara Langford, as Clayton and his son, Scott, both tested positive for COVID-19 in May, were admitted to the hospital, and had to be put in induced comas for several weeks, with doctors thinking that both were not going to make it, and thankfully, both of them were able to recover and be admitted from the hospital just days apart. So before the break, we had a chance to hear from Clayton, just kind of sharing his story. So Kara, I want to ask you, you are Scott's wife and Carol Ann is Clayton's wife. I want to make sure that is mentioned, but Kara, obviously this might be a tough question for you, and if you need time to answer it, feel free, and if you don't feel comfortable answering it, feel free, you don't have to answer it, but hearing from Clayton right there that he and Scott were just how bad they were and how lucky they are to be alive right now, just having them transfer over to Edmonton, be in the ICU for weeks, you know, can you just share, you know, just the thoughts that are just running through your mind during this time?
At first, I was pretty confident that he was going to get out of the hospital, but then he got into the ICU and I couldn't be able to see him at all or talk to him. And then, yeah, he went in the hospital on the 15th and he went on the ventilator in a induced coma on the 17th. So for 2 days, I was texting him as much as I can, and I finally found out he went into a medically induced coma, and I couldn't talk to him. I couldn't see him for a whole week. It was the worst thing. I thought I was going to lose my husband. I didn't even know what to say and what to do. I just kept positive that he's going to fight through this. And luckily, I had my mother-in-law here. She was my rock because I'm very close with my parents and they live 4.5 hours away from here. Mm-hmm. So for her, she was here. And when we finally got to go to Edmonton, finally got to see Scott because there's only allowed 2 isolated people to see him. He got there on the 23rd of May. And yeah, we got there on the 24th. And now he's here with me. I am forever thankful that my prayers, other people's prayers, are been answering them. I'm very thankful that it was a long, 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 long run. That's for sure. This COVID is no joke to people. Mm-hmm. You see people are lying. Like, it's a joke. It's a flu. I know it is flu, but it's not nearly as a flu.
It's unfortunate that so many people have had to just deal with COVID to truly understand just how deadly it is. Obviously, your family got a front row seat, and I don't like to use that analogy, but thankfully both of Clayton's... I'm curious if you can maybe touch about Scott's case directly. Maybe Clayton, obviously Clayton wouldn't know this answer directly unless someone told him, but was it after a couple of weeks when you got the note from the doctor saying, you know, he's going to recover, he just needs time to wake up? How long of a process was that?
When we were in Edmonton, he'd been in the ICU down there for about a week, and he'd been up here for a couple of weeks. And when they were taking the ventilator off and putting him on the trach, we asked, was he out of the woods yet? And they told us, no, he still wasn't out of the woods. That as long as they were in ICU, they were still a risk. They were in, Clayton got home on Tuesday, and that was 40 days he was in the hospital. And he was only out of ICU for about a week. So for the better part of 5 weeks, we didn't know if they were going to make it or not. They couldn't tell us that he was out of the, that either one of them was out of the woods.
Okay, so Scott just got out on Tuesday, you said?
Scott got out Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
Clayton got out Tuesday.
Wow, that's literally 3 days apart. Yeah. That's just such a, I'm assuming was just such a happy time to have them both come out within days of each other.
Yeah.
I know you kind of touched on it there a little bit, Kara, and I don't know if Clayton wants to touch on it. There are a lot of people out there that still believe that this virus isn't that deadly, that there aren't these real severe cases. And from what it sounds like with Scott, he was still quite young and he still went through such an adverse effect. Can you just kind of touch on, is it still somewhat frustrating, you know, from someone who's been in this entire family who's been in this situation, and you still have so many people denying that, you know, this thing is really anything to less than a flu?
It is really frustrating. It's almost hurtful when they make it seem like it's not as important or not as serious as it is. It's like diminishing what we've all just gone through.
You stop and think about what we went through, and what, because most all of our family is not here, unfortunately. My family is in Newfoundland. The wife's family lives in Ontario.
And Kara's family's in Slave Lake.
And Kara's family's in Slave Lake. So I had all my brothers and sisters back there. They were afraid that they weren't going to see me no more, because it wasn't looking very good at that time. And when I did come back, you know, to understand where I was going, then I found out my dad passed away. And that kind of hit home too, because it could have been me and Scott going with it. So that was the hardest thing that I had to deal with when I came out and realized what was going on. And then people look up and say, this is a joke. I get so frustrated trying to listen to different people. Because when I got out, I went to a restaurant and sat down, had a little lunch there. And I told them in the restaurant, anybody asks you if this thing is a joke, I spent 40 days in the hospital. It is no joke. Barely come out of it alive. So for me to understand and people to understand what we went through, I don't even know if you can really explain it. You can put it out there, but is people going to believe? I don't know. That's the hardest part for me. And for go through and the ICU down there, once I did come through, and how the people and the nurses treat you down there.
I say, for
my opinion, the nurses, they need, because it's not only the doctors that hand out the medicine, but they're the rock of the old thing, from what I understand. And turn to the doctor up here that I deal with before I went to Edmonton. And after, he said the same thing. the nurses are the rock of the whole thing. They give the medicine, they give the orders. The nurses really look after you. Mm-hmm. But like I said, if you had to put a thing out there for say anything but nurses, I say they need the high praise of the whole thing that's going on in this world today. I couldn't believe it, how they treat you, but they treat you as you're sick, just not a number and a body in the bed to look after. They looked after you just the same thing as
your
family member. And that is amazing.
When I was transferred to Edmonton, when we called for updates on you, they asked me how Scott was every day. They always wanted to know how he was.
So for the rest of it, it was amazing to come out of it. And I got a different look on life right now. I know that I got a long road ahead of me because right now I can't walk, nor I got no break or move anywhere because my lungs are shot right now.
Yeah.
Because of this. And I've had asthma all my life, so that's not helping very much right now, is it? So, So anybody gets this disease and comes out of it should thank the nurses and the doctors for what they do, because it's amazing.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with the Langfords as we once again chat about Clayton and his son Scott, each testing positive for COVID-19 in May, being admitted to the hospital and having to be put in induced comas for several weeks and being admitted from the hospital just days apart.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone are the Langfords. We have Clayton and his wife, Carol Ann. And we also have Kara, whose husband, Scott, along with his dad, Clayton, each had tested positive for COVID-19 last month and were each released from the hospital after spending weeks in induced comas just 3 days apart. And Clayton, I know before the break you were talking about just there's really no words to properly thank all the doctors and nurses. I don't think the nurses, the doctors, this anyone who's dealing with this pandemic head on can be told that they're heroes enough. They are legitimate heroes in this.
They can't be given enough.
It's like the doctor said in the hospital. I said, if I win all the money, I go and give to the hospital. He looked at me straight out and said, no, don't give to the hospital. He said, the most important thing to give anything to anybody is the nurses, because they deserve it. And I agree with him 100%.
Super nice.
That's great to hear. Kara, obviously we just heard Clayton just give a really thoughtful message to the nurses and obviously to the doctors who saved his life and obviously Scott. But, you know, in your opinion, do you think if it wasn't for them, and obviously they did the little things too and just making sure you guys were given updates as well, I'm assuming helped a little bit with your guys' anxiety, but do you think the overall work that they did, if it wasn't for them, that you may have lost your husband and your father-in-law?
I couldn't even imagine losing them. Yeah, I'm just thankful for them. I can even say thank you so much for them. And Scott told me to tell you guys that on behalf of him, he is forever thankful for the doctors and the nurses who took extra care for him, and just pretty much what Clayton said. I 100% agree.
All right. Well, I know that this isn't an easy topic, but I appreciate you taking a couple minutes to come on to talk about Scott's experience, and obviously having you here, Clayton, as well. And I absolutely love the message you had for the nurses and for the doctors throughout this pandemic. Before I let you go, is there anything else you want to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
I just wanted to say thank you to my mom. She's been on my side since day one, basically. Like, after when we got to Edmonton, she came up here to pick me up and took me directly to the U of A to be in Edmonton. For 5 weeks, she's been on my side, so I'm very thankful for her. And just all our friends here in Fort McMurray, the Slow Pitch Association has helped so much. Our family, from my side to his side, just random people are messaging me on Facebook. His people, friends from his university in Newfoundland, are messaging me, adding me as a friend, just checking in. I'm just overwhelming, but it feels good that he has loved in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great message to end on. Once again, that was the Langfords, Clayton, his wife Carol Ann, and his daughter-in-law Kara, as Clayton and his son Scott both had tested positive for the virus last month, ended up being put in induced comas, and were admitted from the hospital just 3 days apart. Now that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.